Amen. Will y'all help me thank God for our psalmist today? We're so grateful for each and every one of you. We are so grateful. And we thank God for you today. I got sense enough to know that some of y'all already been in church today, but you love the Lord, and even moreover, you love us, and you want to be with us as well. So for that, we are so grateful. Do not take that for granted. Appreciative of Pastor Wakefield and celebrating with him yesterday. You want to know that we are godly proud of Pastor Derek Wakefield. He was promoted to Lieutenant Colonel as a chaplain in the Air Guard yesterday, and we thank God for him and for Toretta and his entire family and all that God has and is doing in their lives. As you can see, the Rasko clan is getting a little bigger. Thank God for the birth of Cole. Cole was born on Monday, and to Simone and Cordarian. And so we thank God for that little baby. We're taking reservations for any new little ones for the end of the year or one. We're happy to sign up newcomers and additions for 2020, for 2021. Amen. There's a word from the Lord today, and I want to thank God for Reverend Walter, who read the text for us. I'm going to look at that 11th verse from the 4th chapter of Matthew, and it says, then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. Then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. Nita Baker had a song, big hit, You're My Angel, Oh Angel. Nita Baker, I mean, there's some folk, you got to be real good to try to sing their song that they have made their own. You don't see nobody, hardly anybody, trying to sing any of Daryl Coley's song, because Daryl Coley is Daryl Coley. He's on the other side now, but he's an awesome singer. Very few people can sing any of Luther's stuff. You got to be some kind of singer to sing anything from Luther. And you've got to be exceptional to be able to try to sing anything from Anita Baker. But then, lo and behold, along came Layla Hathaway. And Layla took Angel to a whole nother level. I can't hardly get on the highway without pulling up Layla and letting her ride a little bit with me on Pandora. And listen to her sing Angel. I know they were talking about a person that they were in love with, and they described them as their angel. As little children, we've been taught about angels, but today I want to talk about, so you want to be an angel. So you want to be an angel. First of all, I think it's important for us to understand when we use the word angel, we need to consider whether we're talking about it literally or figuratively. Literally, that means a specific angel. Literally, you need to know that angels were created by God. Angels were created by God, and they were created by God before he created man. It doesn't say in the creation story what day they came along, but God created the angels before he created man. It's Psalms 8. Psalm 8 talks about that he created man and made him a little lower than the angels. There are angels. They were created by God. They were created before man. I don't know how many they are. The Bible says that there are thousands upon thousands. There's a whole lot of them. But we do know that some of them are named. but we aren't given the names of all of them. Now, know for a fact, God knows every single name of the angels that he made. He knows them by name. He can do that because he's God. There are a few of them that are named in scripture. We know about Michael. He's a bad boy. We know about Gabriel. He's a bad boy. But not all of the angels that appear in scripture, that show up in the lives of people, they're not all named. It just says that he'll call them an angel. They all have names, but they all aren't named. So we don't know them all. We don't know them all by name, but we do know that they show up. Matter of fact, in scripture, it appears the name angel or angels appear over 192 times in scripture. They're showing up in the Old Testament. They show up in the New Testament. Thank God for the angels. Literally, there are angels. There are some that are seen. There's some you can't see. Sometimes you see them. Sometimes you don't. They have different assignments. Sometimes they speak. Sometimes they don't, but they are real and they're alive and well as a part of God's kingdom. They're messengers, servants of God, if you will. And so literally, they are real individuals, real creatures that are angels. Figuratively, you can say he's like an angel, a messenger of God. He's like an angel. He's someone who's come alongside. He's like an angel. He's sweet. He's kind. He shows the love of God, the grace of God. You can figuratively be like an angel. You need to know that no, when the baby dies, they don't get wings and become angels. That's just an expression of Michelangelo and his desire to try to somehow picture the glory of heaven. He's just trying. It's a man's idea of maybe what it's like. But no, angels are not babies that died and got wings. And when you die, you ain't going to be an angel. You're going to be what you are until the Lord calls you. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be in the very presence of the Lord. But you are not angels. We remember people's memory. I remember people that I've engaged with and their presence, their lessons. I can't help but remember. I remember George Gilbert. I remember his nickname, Tack, because he was so sharp. I remember individuals. I remember Deacon Jones and how he prayed and the poetic tone of his voice when he gave the welcome. I remember Marvelline Prince, angelic, and turned one verse and said, when I'm down to my last thin, was it a brown dime? But he always stepped in on time. We remember. And so figuratively, it is possible to be like an angel. So if you want to be an angel, Mike Lucas, I want to suggest to you that if you want to be an angel, it's important that you understand systematically, we see some things that are consistent in angels. And so if you want to be an angel, one of the things you need to come to grips with, one of the requirements is, if you're going to be an angel, it's important that you spend time in the presence of God. Let me say it again. If you want to be an angel, it's important that you spend time in the presence of God. I heard you. Kathy Lindsay, all the way from Austin, Texas. If you want to be an angel, and you have been to many people, it's important that you spend time in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you why, Kathy Lindsay, all the way from Austin, Texas. You need to spend time in the presence of God so that you can hear what he hears. It's important to hear what God hears. You need to hear the cries of his people. It's important to hear what God hears so that you can feel what God feels and so that you can hear what God says. Remember when the Lord spoke in the calling of Moses, he said, I've heard the cries I've heard the cries of the people, and I'm ready to come down to do something about it. When you get in the presence of God, whether it's in worship or in particular in the Word of God, you will hear what God hears. You will learn to see what God sees. You will learn to be sensitive to what God is sensitive to, because the truth is that it's possible for something to be in your face for 2 years and you still not see it until somebody put their knee on somebody's neck. Our commissioner said, oh, now I see. The commissioner of football, Goodell, said, now I see, now I understand what he was talking about. But isn't it funny, still didn't give Kaepernick a job. Another sermon, another day. But it's important to be in the presence of God. It's important to be in the presence of God because when you are in the presence of God, God can prepare you. You need to know that when you spend time in the presence of God, when you spend time in the Word of God. Matter of fact, in our text today, our text comes right after Jesus has specifically and intentionally been in the presence of God. Now, you need to know at this point, he's about 30 years old. He grew up as a Jewish boy. He was in the synagogue. He was already going to Passover. He was in the Word. He was in the Word of God. And then after his baptism, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He's there. He's been in the wilderness some 40 days being tempted of the devil. He was tested in the area of would he use his strength for his own benefit, turn these stones to bread. He was tested. You jump down from the pinnacle and the angels will keep you, but the devil misquoted Psalm 91. The Lord will keep us when we are operating in the confinement of his will. When we operate in his will, he will keep us. And then finally the devil said, You know what's ahead. I can give you all of this kingdom. And then Jesus reminded Satan, you can't give me what's already been promised to me. It's already been promised, and I will not worship you, I will not bow down. Then the Bible says in that 11th verse, after being tempted in all of those areas, you need to know that Jesus was able to gain victory over those temptations because he responded with the Word of God. He spent time in prayer, even in the wilderness, seeking. He was focused, seeking, fasting, and praying, spending time in the presence of God, getting soaked and saturated in the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, so that when the time came for him to be squeezed, what came out was the word of God. So he was able to walk in the Word and fulfill the will of God. But notice for a fact, when that testing was over, the Bible says the devil left. Know that he doesn't go far. But then the angels came. God sent an angel and they ministered to him. It's important to know that you need to spend time in the presence of God. But then also know the second requirement is that you need to know that when you spend time in the presence of God, know that you ought to expect a call from God. See, God enjoys our company. We go to him and we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We offer our praises to God, but you can know for a fact that every time I've spent time intimately in the presence of God, one of the things that follows my time in the presence of God is a call and assignment from God. Because we go to him as if you will, like the football player that goes to the huddle to hear the play. And sometimes you got somebody like a Peyton Manning, they don't huddle at all, but know for a fact there is communication from the coach to the quarterback, and there's communication to the players, because we don't come to just sit. We come to hear the assignment. Know that these angels, over and over you'll see in the scripture, and God sent an angel. And there appeared an angel, because the angels spend time in the presence of God. But after you spend time in the presence of God, you can expect an assignment from God. And that assignment from God needs to be your priority. There are things that are synchronized based on the angel fulfilling their assignment. Know for a fact that one of the issues that the angel has, if you're going to be an angel, you got to understand, just like in Scripture, angels were not omnipresent. Angels couldn't be at one place and another place at the same time. They couldn't be two places at the same time. That's why there's so many of them, and that's why it's so important for you to fulfill, for them to fulfill their assignment. Could you imagine if the angel, we don't know what his name was, but the Bible said, but God sent some angels to Jesus. And here Jesus, after spending 40 days fasting and praying in the wilderness among wild animals, he sent some angels there to minister, to serve him. And could you imagine if they decided they wanted to go someplace else? They decided on their own, well, we're going to stop by such and such a place and hang out with him. No, you don't do that. When you are in the presence of God, when you're being a servant of God, you have to take seriously your assignment, because you can't be at two places at the same time. And God's expecting us to do and to go where he has assigned. Not only can they not be two places at the same time, they don't have all power. They don't have all power. They've got some power, but they don't have all power. They can't do what sovereign God can do, but they can do what they have been assigned to do. Know the truth that when you spend time in the presence of God, and then God gives you an assignment, your assignment is never to do all things. Your assignment is to do your assignment, because he knows what he's called you to do. And so there's a time to step in, and then there's a time to step away, because God gives us a very specific assignment. These angels were sent to minister. When you look up the word minister, it means to serve. When you look up that word minister, it's almost as if it's the idea of a cook or somebody standing beside to minister. It doesn't say specifically what it was. And I'm glad it didn't. But here's the idea. The idea is to minister is to meet the need. It's to meet the need. They came and met the need. And here's what you can trust, that not only did God send them, but God will give you what you need to meet the need. Sometimes, Ed, he'll give it to you in advance. You thought it was for something else, but there's another need, and he sends it. Sometimes he sends it in advance. Sometimes the need is there, and you use it once you get to the place. Other times, you got to bring it with you. Come here. You remember when Abraham sent his servant to go find a wife for his son, and you remember what he did? He went and got him 10 camels and walked through the warehouse and started loading up some stuff. He loaded up 10 camels of stuff, and then when the servant got to Rebekah, he had all the stuff he needed in advance to meet the need, to help her and the family to understand, I'm not asking you to go across the tracks. We getting ready to go to a whole nother level, and we want to show you how much we appreciate what God is going to do, what we believe God is going to do through the life of this, your beloved daughter. Sometimes you got to bring it with you. Sometimes God gives it at advance. And then sometimes it show up because you already got what you needed. I can prove that. Remember Elijah, when he went to the widow and he asked her, what you doing? She said, I got one little box. I got one little box of Jiffy, a little dab of oil, one egg. I got me 5 sticks, and I'm getting ready to mix this box of Jiffy. We're going to eat this cornbread, and then we're going to die. And the man of God said, I'll tell you what you do. Fix me one first. And I love her attitude. I don't know if she worked her neck. I don't know if she said, "You must be kidding." I don't know if she said, "Talk to the hand." I don't know if that went through her mind, but I do know what she did. She followed the thoughts of the man of God and gave a sacrificial offering. This was not a surplus. This was a sacrificial offering. She was giving up her meal so that the man of God could have something to eat. And then when she went back and to look, getting ready to throw the Jiffy box away, and there was more cornmeal in it. She went to the cup and there was more oil in it. Went to the refrigerator, there was another egg in it. You know, I'm rasconizing this thing. My point is, it just, everything she needed was already there, but when she began to share it, God multiplied it. God magnified it. Everything she needed, and she kept on eating. God kept on providing over and over and over and over again. Know that when you spend time in the presence of God, expect an assignment from God, but it's important that you make that assignment your priority. Sometimes people want to be nasty and stir up stuff and ask you why you aren't doing this and why we aren't doing that and why we aren't doing that and why we aren't going over there and doing that. It ain't my assignment. You got to know your assignment. You haven't been assigned to everything. You haven't been assigned to minister to everything. You haven't been assigned to minister everywhere. When you spend time in the presence of God, He'll let you know what He wants you to do. He'll let you know where to do it, when to do it, who to do it with, and when what you've done is over. It's important to make your assignments a priority and do what God has called you to do. I got one last thing, and we'll wrap this up. So you want to be an angel? Dwight, it's going to be important that you spend some time in the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, you'll hear what He hears. You'll feel what He feels. And through His Word, you'll have the Word of God to give you principles on how to do what He's calling you to do. He'll give you specific. You do that He has called you to do, and the kingdom will be blessed. Ed, when you do that He's called you to do, the kingdom will be blessed. Tracy, we're blessed because you're doing that which the kingdom, which God has called you to do. Jerry, I can't thank you enough because you're willing to do that God has called you to do. Bert, I'm so glad you ain't trying to play the drums. Thank you for doing that the Lord has called you to do. The kingdom gets advanced when you do that He has called and gifted you to do. But when you do it, it's important that you do it understanding the purpose is for God. You got to do it. My purpose is for God. I want y'all to take a moment and repeat after me. Those of you who are watching and streaming, I need y'all in here to repeat after me. The purpose is for God. The purpose is for God. You're doing it to people, but you're doing it for God. You got to do it for God. The purpose is for God. Now let me show you what I mean. Iresi, whatever you do, it's got to be. The purpose is for God. Because if you don't do it for God, if you do what you do for man, it's going to lead you to use some colorful language sometime. And I know you don't know nothing about cussing, but if you do it for people, you'll learn. I know you don't know nothing about cussing now, but if you ever do it for people, you'll learn. I sure hate testifying, but since I got the mic, every time I forget and I do it for people, because people will make you I know. I'm gonna have to deal with Andre when I get done with this sermon. I'm gonna have to deal with my son, because my son said, "Daddy, you don't." We were in the barbershop one day, and when I got to the truck, he said, "Daddy, why are you cussing in the barbershop?" And I was trying to help him I was trying to put it on the audience. I said, they don't understand. And Dre said, "They may not understand, but Daddy, they are not you. Why are you using?" And I was trying to say that, well, and so I ended up saying, well, at least I didn't do F-bombs and all that kind of stuff. But you got to know the purpose is for God. Let me tell you why. Tracy, I tracked down a few of the times where the angels appeared and did their assignment. For instance, Hagar fell out with Sarah, and you remember Sarah put her out? Sarah put her out. She put Hagar out, and Hagar was out in the wilderness crying, didn't have no money, no family, no friends, and the Lord sent an angel and said, "Girl, learn to keep your mouth shut. God's gonna bless you. You're gonna have a son. His name's gonna be Ishmael. He's gonna be a wild ass of a man, but God's gonna be with him. Now you go on back and learn how to keep your mouth shut." And I was reading through that text, Genesis 22. I was reading through it, Genesis 16 with Hagar. And I ain't seen nowhere Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Abraham is on the mountain where God told him to go. And he's up there on top of the mountain. And we'd already had the discussion where Isaac said, "Daddy, I know we're going to worship. I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" We'd already had that. And when you read a little further, Abraham had already said, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And now we get to the point where Isaac is tied up, laid on the altar, and Noah has his Kershaw knife. Not Noah, Abraham has his Kershaw knife, and he's coming down to slaughter the sacrifice. And the Bible says an angel who was sent from God on his special assignment didn't stop by Dairy Queen, got there in the nick of time and said, "Abraham, stay your head." And he caught him before the Kershaw blade cut his throat. And the angel said, "Look over there." And when he turned around, in the thicket was not a lamb, but a ram, bigger and better than he'd asked for. And I kept looking. Numbers chapter 22. Balaam is riding on his donkey, doing something, headed somewhere he ain't supposed to go. Gets to a tight spot, and the donkey stops, and Balaam smacks the donkey, and the donkey wouldn't move. Balaam beat the donkey some more, and as he went forward through this close quarters, he smashes up against the wall, and he beat him some more. Then the donkey fell down, and Balaam beat him, and then God let the donkey speak. The Bible calls him an ass. We've messed up that name, so if I use it sometimes, y'all think I'm speaking out of turn. But the ass spoke. Said, "Why are you beating me?" And then the Lord allowed Balaam to see what the ass saw. And there in the path was an angel with a sword drawn, because the ass could see something that Balaam couldn't see, and saved his life, cost him a beating. And I looked for it. I looked for it. I didn't see it. I didn't see it in Numbers 22. I didn't see it in Genesis 22. I didn't see it in Genesis 6. Mario, nowhere in the text does it record the person who got help telling the angel, "Thank you." Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Nowhere in the text, Hagar didn't say thank you. Abraham, it doesn't record him saying thank you. Balaam never told the angel thank you. I'm trying to help all us up in here and out there, that you've got to work. Your purpose has got to be for the Lord, because you can expect, just like in the Bible, when you are being a servant, when you are being a messenger, when you are being an instrument from God, the people you help are not always going to say, and here's the deal, you can't stop helping people because they don't appreciate what you do, because you ain't working for people. You're working based upon, you've been called by God, you've been in the presence of God, you've been assigned by God, and you've got to do what God has called you to do, whether the people ever say thank you or not. I know what you're saying. It would be nice, but that don't mean it's going to happen. The other week, Chadwick Boseman passed away, and they were showing some clips of some of the messages that he had given. It was one clip where he did the message at a graduation at Howard University. But the message that really touched my heart was, there was a Lifetime Achievement Award given to Denzel Washington. And they had Chadwick come to express words of thanks and appreciation to Denzel. And he went to the mic, and Chadwick Boseman, he's already become the Black Panther now. A whole generation of young actors that we know nothing about, they got work. They're buying houses and cars now that they can actually pay for because of Black Panther. But he stood and said, when I was at Howard University, I was accepted to go to an institute in England, an acting institute, but I didn't have the money to pay for it. But Felicia Rashad, Cosby Queen, called Denzel and said, "Denzel, there's a student that I need you to help me. I need you to help me help them." And Denzel's words were, "I got this." And then Chadwick, he said, imagine getting a letter that says you can go to this prestigious school and your tuition has been paid for by a private benefactor, and then you learn that the benefactor, the one who gave and paved the way for you, was no other than Denzel Washington. Chadwick said, if there wasn't no, if there hadn't been a Denzel Washington, there wouldn't been no Black Panther. In other words, somebody came before me and stood in the gap on my behalf so that I could become what God wanted me to be. The truth is, isn't that all our story? Don't all of us have that testimony that somebody was so that we could become? Somebody was there to pay our rent so that we could become. Somebody was there to provide tuition so that we could become. Somebody paid for somebody's books so that we could become. Somebody opened a door so that we could have our first job. Somebody made a word for us so that we could become what we are right now. Here's what I want to tell you. You ought to be an angel so that somebody coming behind you be so that others can become. What sacrifice are you making so that others can become? What service are you rendering so that others can become? I tell you, the greatest angel of all is Jesus Christ. He left heaven to come to earth to be our sacrifice. Didn't he die so that we might live? Didn't he get up so that we would know he's got all power in his hand? And even now he makes intercession for you and me, and he calls us into the presence of God. And when you spend time in the presence of God, you'll hear what God hears, the cries of people that need to be fed, the cries of people that need jobs. You'll hear what God hears. You'll feel what God feels. And then you'll be a servant and a vessel so that you can do what God has called you to do. Take your assignment seriously. Know that you don't have all power, but you do have some power. Take what you have, do what you can, and you can trust that the God we serve will advance his kingdom. And I'm trusting, and I want you to know, you do it for the Lord, not for man. Do it for the Lord, not for applause. Do it for the Lord, not that your name will be in lights, not for riches or for fame. Because here's what I want to tell you. One day, we're going to see him again. One day, we'll stand in the presence of our Father, and he's going to have an announcement to make. There's going to be a surprise narrative where the Lord will say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant. And you'll say, what? And he'll say, I was hungry, and you fed me. And you'll say, what? I was sick, but you came to see about me. And you'll say, what? I was naked, but you put some clothes on me. And you'll say, when did all of this happen? He said, when you've done to the least of these, you've done also unto me. So you want to be an angel? I don't know who Anita was talking about. I don't know who Layla was talking about, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, my God. And to him be the glory for the things that he has done. And we thank him for his word. Thank him for enduring what he did so that we could see how much our Heavenly Father loves us. And as God has loved us, may we go and love one another.